round, round, get around.
I get around.
Yeah,
get around, round, round. I get around.
I get around.
Good morning, everybody. This is You Get the Blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell. You're listening to the Beach Boys there.
Driving up and down the same old strip. I gotta find a new place where the kids are hip. My buddies and me, you're getting real well known.
I could let the music go on a little longer, but you get the idea. Mike Love, Al Jardine, Brian Wilson, Dennis Wilson, and Carl Wilson. Boys had a good band. So thanks for tuning in to You Get the Blessing today. This program exists because we are excited to introduce you to individuals that come on our program as guests who we believe are impacting this community, this world for Jesus Christ. And our guest today is Daniel Henderson, and Daniel's the president and the founder of Strategic Renewal. Daniel, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you, Bo. Great to be in conversation with you.
Sorry to start this Christ-focused, Christ-centered show with a Beach Boys song, but do you happen to be a Beach Boys fan?
I am, yeah. I was surfing in Southern California while that was going on in my head anyway.
Shoot, you were right there. I wish I'd have been with you because Beach Boys and the Beatles are still the groups for me. I'm kind of stuck on that old music. Now, I do like Phillips Craig
right?
and Dream, Dean, but it's good stuff.
Yeah, I like Phillips Craig and Dean. I was a fan of Three Dog Night and a kind of crazy group called Yes back in the day. So
that's good. Well, for our listeners that may not know, it's okay to start a Christian program with the Beach Boys. That's why we do it. So thanks for putting up with it. So, Daniel Henderson, tell us a little about your background, where you were raised, and what it was like around your home when you were a kid.
Well, thank you, Bo. I was raised right down the road in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Best way I could summarize my spiritual heritage is that I was not born into a Christian family, but I was raised in one. And that's because my parents, who were in their early 40s, I was the best mistake they ever made. They didn't plan to have a kid that late in life, but my parents came to Christ when I was 1 year old, and they had been a very broken, dysfunctional family. I didn't see it all with my own eyes, but my older brothers recounted, you know, there was alcoholism, and they would share this in their testimony, extramarital affairs, the typical military officer lifestyle in so many ways, just far from God. And they were radically saved when I was just one, and they became people who were bold in their witness for Christ, committed to the church. My two brothers came to Christ. One of them became a pastor right away, started preaching when he was 12 years old, actually, as a young man. And so the environment I was raised in, Bo, was just very, very dynamic, and I was very grateful for my spiritual heritage in that way. I came to Christ when I was young. I was 6 years old. My brother was preaching one of those old-fashioned revival meetings for a week. And by Friday night, I understood heaven, I understood hell, and I understood I needed Jesus. So that's when I gave my life to Christ.
And you listeners that may be confused about, can a six-year-old really understand heaven, hell, things of Christ, things of this world? The answer is yes. My daughter, Ashley, came home from Sunday school at about exactly that same age, Daniel, and she said, this is what they taught today, and I don't want to go that direction. I want to go that direction. How do I do that? So my wife led our daughter to Christ, and then within a couple of days, she had her little brother under the table telling him, you don't want to go to hell. You want to go to heaven. So those are good stories about young kids whose faith is real when it happens. So 6 years old, that's good.
Yep. And, you know, in junior high, I strayed a little bit, came back, though, and started preaching when I was 15 and haven't stopped since. So kind of been my journey.
Well, so even though you were a late mistake, you say, turns out maybe you were what straightened your parents out. They thought, okay, let's start making good decisions here. But how did you come to start preaching at age 15?
Well, we moved actually from Albuquerque down to a resort area in southern New Mexico. It's a lake between Albuquerque and El Paso called Elephant Butte Lake. And the closest town was a town called Truth or Consequences. So that's where I went to high school. And when we transferred down there, I decided, you know, I'm going to really get serious about Jesus. And so the first day I showed up at that campus, I was carrying my Bible on top of my books. Within a week, I led a young guy to Christ. And within a month, we started a prayer group on the front lawn of school before school started every day. Over time, about a third of the school came to Christ. It was an amazing work of the gospel. And out of that, early on, the pastor of First Baptist Church Truth of Consequences was so impressed with what we were doing, he asked me if I wanted to preach one Sunday night. And I figured, you know, that's an easy town to preach in, Truth or Consequences. You know, believe the truth or suffer the consequences.
So you were launched.
That's how it got started.
My word. And on
I was launched in Truth or Consequences.
Let's just fast forward, and then I'm going to back up and ask a few questions. But in a typical year, how many times now would you preach, Daniel?
Yeah, well, of course, I was a senior pastor for almost three decades, so that would involve probably multiple services on a weekend. But now, boy, you know, it's a little seasonal, but I probably preach two, maybe three times a week pretty commonly, except for, a few summer months. So, yeah, well, it's a great privilege.
I'll get back to some specifics of that in a minute, but I had occasion to play golf in 2003 with Donald Trump and spent 2 days at Mar-a-Lago getting to know him. And I really was just there because he wanted to meet a friend of mine. And I brought the friend with me, and we had a couple, 2 days. But I liked him, and I wanted to share Christ with him. And I do now believe David Green of Hobby Lobby and Franklin Graham, who most of our listeners have heard of, Billy Graham's son, and Jim Dobson, former Focus on the Family, Family Talk Now. I believe those guys are surrounding President Trump with scripture, faith issues, topics that hopefully will continue to lead him into a relationship and an obedient life in Christ. But I would ask you, what do you feel is the spiritual condition right now of our nation?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I write about that quite a bit. Of course, a lot of what I do, Bo, is with pastors, and so my lens is really through the lens of pastors of local churches. Generally, I would say that the Western Church in America, in recent decades, has been much like the Laodicean Church in the sense that we are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and don't realize our spiritual condition. I think there's a great need for a spiritual revival in the church. There's certainly great things going on. We are obviously a very prosperous society, but the tendency is that we can be very prayerless. And I think that God is really beginning to work to bring us back to our knees. I think for some people, this last election was a big answer to prayer, if for no other reason than, say, the Supreme Court decision that's so vital for a long-term trajectory. But I do think that in many ways, we are seeing the spiritual battle with fresh eyes. The anti-Christian, anti-faith sentiment is growing, I think, exponentially in ways that many of us would have never imagined. And so what I'm sensing, that God is bringing us back to the fact that, you know, we're going to have to fight this battle with spiritual weapons, which are really prayer and the Word, not necessarily our facilities and programs and structures. Those are all fine and good, but it's going to have to be a supernatural victory for us. So the bottom line, Bo, I sense that the Lord is really beginning to help us to realize how much we need to get back to the basics of prayer and the Word as the real focus and force of our spiritual impact in a society that generally is going more and more hostile. I think a lot of people see the current moment as a real positive, but I think overall, the hostility toward the church is going to continue to increase in the culture around us.
You're listening to the voice there of my guest today, Daniel Henderson. This is Bo Mitchell. I'm the host, and the program is You Get the Blessing. And Daniel is the president and founder of Strategic Renewal, which exists to ignite personal renewal Congregational Revival and Leadership Restoration for Christ's Glory. So thank you for what you just said about our nation as a whole, and maybe back that down a little bit and tell us what you do in terms of your strategic renewal organization and how you reach people for their own personal renewal, because that's kind of what I was saying about Trump. I hope that happens in the Oval Office with him, but you're doing that with people everywhere, every day. So tell me what that looks like, Daniel.
Yeah, thank you, Bo. We really, through the books we've written and, of course, the events we are able to hold in various places, are trying to help believers really have a rediscovery of just a great intimacy with Christ. And a lot of it's focused on prayer. I think the average Christian secretly struggles with their prayer life. Most of our praying is a kind of a quick touch with God, going over a brief grocery list of present needs. And what I have learned in the scripture, Bo, that has been transformational in my own life and the people I pastored and the folks who minister to now, is that prayer is really much more about seeking God's face than his hand. His face is who he is. His hand is what he does. And I always say, if all you ever do is seek God's hand through a grocery list approach to prayer, you may miss his face. But if you seek his face, he's going to be glad to open his hand. And so based upon the model of prayer Jesus gave us, we really teach believers how to engage in what we describe as scripture-fed, spirit-led, worship-based prayer, a prayer that begins by seeking the face of God from the Word of God in the power of the Spirit of God that ultimately brings transformation. And I think, Bo, a lot of us just view prayer simply telling God what's on our mind or informing him of our needs. But we help people understand that prayer is fundamentally intimacy with God that leads to the fulfillment of his purposes. And when people begin to pray that way, everything changes. The vibrancy of their walk, their family, their marriage, their church, and their sense of mission in this world changes when we learn to abide in Christ in that way.
And I have a testimony that includes a sidetrack in the wilderness 25 years ago in my own life, Daniel, where I, in my own mind, unfairly was sentenced to 11 months in prison after being promised probation by the U.S. attorney here in Denver. But in that process, I, and as I shared my testimony over time, I've learned that there are all kinds of prisons that people are in, not the literal prison I was in, but just prison of addiction or prison of a bad marriage or whatever. But I do think prayerlessness, the prison of unbelief would be one, but prayerlessness is really a dangerous, sad prison to find yourself in, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah, I definitely would. In fact, I often say that prayerlessness is my declaration of independence from God, and that's not where you want to be if you're a Christ follower.
No.
You don't want to be living independently of him, for sure.
So let's, with the importance of that, let's spend another minute on this. I love what you're teaching there about the face and the hand of God, because it is so true that I don't know if it's just habitual or laziness or what causes us just to come before God with this, as you say, this grocery list, this laundry list of requests that require his response. But why does that condition exist, and how do we break out of that and get to what you're talking about?
Well, and that's really the ultimate target of what we do. I think most Christians pray that way because that's what they've been taught in their churches. And the only way that's going to change is when pastors change their paradigm. And Bo, as we're talking today, I'm just getting off of some coaching groups with pastors. We are realizing that pastors never learn to pray, certainly not in seminary. Seminary gives you 7 years of training in the Bible and virtually nothing in prayer. Most pastors, that's all they know to do, is just a grocery list approach to prayer. So we really are helping pastors change their own prayer life and then giving them the tools to transform the spiritual environment of their church by really leading their people to pray. People don't learn to pray, as you know, Bo, by reading a book or going to a seminar. They learn to pray by praying. And the best environment for them to learn that is in their own church. And that's why Jesus said, my house will be a house of prayer. And, of course, Paul said, Timothy, 1 Timothy 2:1, Timothy, now, first of all, pray. Teach the church to pray. And so we're really trying to help pastors have the tools and the paradigm to really lead a dramatic movement of worship-based prayer in their churches and thereby teaching their own people how to pray accordingly.
And have you heard of that ACTS, A-C-T-S approach to prayer?
Sure have, yeah. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Yeah.
Yes, and isn't that, so I guess listeners were saying, if you can think of the word ACTS, A-C-T-S, and A being adoration, C being confession, T being thanksgiving, S supplication. But that's really a good batting order for how to align yourself before God, isn't it?
It really is, you know, and helping people learn how to do that is so vital. What we do, which is obviously not rocket science, we take the model prayer that Jesus gave us. And, of course, it's very similar to the ACTS model. And one of the things I've come to realize, Bill, is when Jesus said, pray this way, well, first of all, he wasn't just saying, say these words, you know, don't just quote this prayer. But he was saying, this is how I want you to pray. It wasn't a suggestion. It was actually a command. Pray this way. And so the more closely we can align our prayers to that pattern that Jesus gave us, the more powerful and transformational prayer is going to be. And as you know, Bill, it starts with his face. You know, it doesn't start with, Lord, I have a need. It starts with, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. One of the ways we describe that, Bo, is by saying that the first half of the prayer is all Godward, and the second half of the prayer is all manward. And the way I love to describe that is, he is worthy and I am needy.
Amen.
And so, you know, the place we start with prayer is the worthiness of God, and then we move to our neediness. And that's so simple. Everyone can do it. But that's when prayer really begins to change our life.
So our general manager with the Rockies, where I'm team chaplain, used to say, don't forget, Bo, you're talking to baseball players. I thought that was kind of demeaning. But I guess what he's saying is, these are guys that focus mostly on playing ball. But I kind of teach our players, you know, if you don't know how to pray, just start. And if you're driving a car and have time to start, you know, keep your eyes open. There's no rules against that. And just cry out to God, I don't know what I'm doing here. So I hate to oversimplify it, but that's not too far off track, is it?
No. Well, I would say, you know, the Lord always loves to hear the discharge of our hearts. And when Peter was sinking in the waves, he said, Lord, save me. And Jesus didn't say, oh, no, Peter, I can't save you because you didn't start with worship, you know. Or maybe he did because he said Lord first. I guess that's a good start, right? But or you didn't pray out of the Bible. So, you know, the Lord loves to hear the course of our prayers, the cry of our heart. But in the normal course of prayer, the hope is we can all learn to pray, you know, as biblically and transformationally as possible. And so the Lord takes us where we are. He hears our cry. And then, you know, the good news, Bo, is he wants us to learn to pray more than we want to learn to pray.
Wow.
So if we ask him to teach us, I think he will for sure.
That's great. This is You Get the Blessing. You're listening to the voice of our guest today, Daniel Henderson, who's the president and founder of Strategic Renewal. Discuss with us a little bit, if you would, some of the books you've written, Daniel.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you, Bo. I'm actually working on books 13 and 14 as we speak with a publisher, but most of the books I've written are related to prayer. The most popular one is a book called Transforming Prayer. And that really deals with what we're talking about, how to see God's face and not just his hand, and what that looks like, and how to use the model of the Lord's Prayer to be really more effective in your prayer life. One of the more recent ones is a book called Old Paths, New Power, and it's really written for church leaders. There's multiple voices in it. Some people you might know actually wrote articles just for this book, guys like Francis Chan, John Piper, Alistair Begg. There are links to video teachings from other pastors. So it's a great book for those who want to see a real work of renewal occur in their church. And then the most recent book that I wrote is called The Prayer God Loves to Answer, and it's the prayer for wisdom. And it's really a gospel-oriented approach, not Solomon, but Jesus, because Jesus said one greater than Solomon is here, right? And of course, the Bible says in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And how do we experience the wisdom of Jesus, particularly in our relationships, because New Testament wisdom is all about relationships. And so it's a wonderful book. It's got a study guide at the end, prayer guides at the end. And we're just really wanting to help people experience Christ as fully and as biblically as we can. So thanks for asking. It's a privilege to be writing, and thankful to see how the Lord uses some of these tools.
Well, our listeners that know me, Daniel, are thinking to themselves, Bo has not even read 14 books, and the guest today has written 14 books. So that's impressive, and you have a great style about you, and writing a book is difficult, and the lessons you're teaching in these books are powerful. So how can people best access these books?
Oh, well, thanks, Bo. Of course, you can find them on Amazon, Kindle, and all that stuff. But our website, which would kind of be the depository of all of them, is strategicrenewal.com. And there you can find about events and books and resources, small group studies, all kinds of things that we hope will encourage people. And you can also sign up. We do every Monday morning, we send out it's more than a blog. It's really a devotional to help people start their week with a focus on Christ. So strategicrenewal.com, and that's where they can find these resources.
And that's amazing work you're doing. So I would ask you in our last 5 minutes together just to picture one of my friends, I don't know who it is today, that's listening to the show, does not think he measures up to whatever it is it takes in his mind to be a follower of Christ, and beating himself down and just thinking, well, okay, here's Daniel Henderson. He's impacting lives all over the world. And here's Bo. He's trying to do a radio show to help guys like me stumble along. But what would you just focus on and say to that person today, Daniel? Because I'd love to hear your voice on that.
Oh, thanks, Bo. You know, one of the books I wrote deals with the core questions of life and finding biblical answers to them. And I think one reason just the average Christian feels so defeated is because the enemy is going after them at the level of their identity. And, you know, I think what happens, we'll listen to someone on the radio and compare ourselves, or, we'll, you know, somebody wrote a book and I didn't, whatever the case is. One of the things I've realized about Jesus, that the first thing the Father affirmed about Jesus in his public ministry was his identity. And many of us have heard the story. Jesus gets baptized, and the Father says, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And the first thing the devil went after in Jesus' ministry was his identity. When he went into the wilderness, again, some have read, Satan says, "If you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God." And, you know, I think the average Christian, unfortunately, is defeated in terms of their identity. And we know the Bible says we're new creatures in Christ, but I'm mindful that the hardest thing about the Christian life is it's so daily. It's so every day we have to remember who we are. And who we are is not what we do. You know, I always say you can't base your identity on anything that can change. Your role, your marital status, your financial situation, all those things can change. But I think every day, every one of us can just remember, you know, I am God's beloved Son in whom he is well pleased. That's who I am. That's who he says I am. And the enemy's going to try to undermine that in every way he can. But today, I just have to remember who I am and then let God love me in that place and let God lead me to continue to walk in that destiny that's unrelated to what anyone else does, unrelated to, you know, some of those superficial issues of life, but it's the core reality of what the gospel has done in my life. So I would offer that word of encouragement to whoever's listening, that don't forget who you are. You're a beloved son. You're a child of God. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. So many things that the Bible says about us. A proper self-image is seeing ourselves as God sees us, no more and no less. And when we can do that, I think we can live every day in security and significance because of the gospel.
Well said, my friend. And I'll say frequently as I close out the show, I don't know y'all that are listening, but I love you. And that's good news. But isn't it much better news that the creator and the author of life loves us like you just described, Daniel? That is nothing like that. So I hope everybody listening that still kicking the tires will consider darkening the doors of a church, finding a friend who's telling you they're a Christian, and ask them, you know, what does it mean? How do I take this first step to say yes? And then what do I do to grow up in my faith? So let's close by having you share, Daniel. What are some events coming up that you're looking forward to that people may find interesting and want to get involved in themselves?
Well, thanks, Bo. Yeah, a lot of those will be on our website. We are actually taking people from all around the country to Chicago the end of next month. to experience a day of prayer at the Chicago Tabernacle. That's a great praying church. Son-in-law of a guy named Jim Cimbala, who pastors at Brooklyn Tabernacle. We'd love people to experience the power of praying church. I always say the heart cannot taste what the eyes have not seen. And then right here in Denver, in September, we have a national conference that's going to be held at Harvest Bible Chapel. You're familiar with that church, of course, but Pastor Jim Cimbala, several other national speakers, workshops, prayer times. That'll be September 26th through 28th. That'll be up on our website here real soon, but people might want to mark those dates, and we'd love to have a great spiritual reunion at the end of September right here in Colorado.
Okay, so when you're doing that conference in September, I'm gonna have you hang your hat, have your private time if you want in my office, because I do have our little ministry has offices there. So come back and find me, Daniel. You can have some quiet time in the midst of all my sports memorabilia. I think it's quiet, but that's going to be a great.
I'd love that.
Would you mind closing out our time with a word of prayer just for all the listeners that are tuned in today?
Yeah, thank you, Bo. Thrilled to do that. Father, we do worship you. You are a Father in heaven. Your name is holy. You're good. You're true. You're loving. You're gracious. And we worship you. And in response to that, we trust you for all those things today, for those who are listening, for you to remind them that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and that you so desire to reveal yourself to us this day in the circumstances of our life. And so, Lord, I pray that you would do that and remind us that we need you moment by moment and that you are fully sufficient to meet us at our point of need and give us all that we could ever desire in satisfying us with Christ. Help us to be messengers of that gospel today. And, Lord, thank you for the privilege of living with a purpose in this life because of what Christ has done in us, for us, and what he desires to do through us. And we pray this for his glory and in his name. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, Daniel Henderson, our guest today. Look up strategicrenewal.com, everybody, and we'll see you again next week on You Get the Blessing.